Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Yeah? Who's there?
Oh, you know who it is. I thought we were going to take the old football over to the lot this morning and practice kicking. Oh, hi, Eddie. Come on and wait till I finish my breakfast. I'll be with you in just a sec. What you eating? Looks pretty good to me. That's the breakfast of champions. You know, the dish so many champion athletes eat in the morning. It's a training breakfast.
You mean you're eating a special kind of breakfast because you're in training for football? Gee, pretty fancy. What's in the big orange package there?
That's Wheaties. You gotta have Wheaties for a genuine breakfast of champions. And believe me, they're plenty good. Say, do you want to try a bowlful?
Yeah, I don't mind.
See, you fix the Wheaties with lots of milk, and then you slice some fruit on top. Here's a banana for yours.
How come Wheaties are so good for athletes?
Well, because they're whole wheat, for one thing. The coach says whole wheat is mighty nourishing because it's rich in food energy. And that's what athletes need to help them keep on the go.
Boy, those Wheaties are good. They've got a taste that sure hits the spot.
Well, it's about time you learned about a breakfast of champions. See, if you like Wheaties, why don't you get in training and eat them every morning, too? You know, this breakfast of champions is part of the three training rules of Jack Armstrong.
Say, that's right. Jim Bennett was telling me about those rules just the other day. Let's see. You start by getting lots of fresh air, sleep, and exercise, don't you?
That's right. Then you use plenty of soap and water every day. And for rule three, you eat a breakfast of champions every morning. That's all there is to it.
Well, pass the Wheaties. You and I are both in training.
Yes, sir, fellows and girls, it's just that easy to get started on the three famous training rules of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. It's a system that's okayed for young athletes by famous coaches like Wallace Wade of Duke and Bernie Berman of Minnesota. And now that you know the rules, you'd better get yourself a big supply of those nourishing whole wheat flakes with the champion flavor, Wheaties. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack and Billy are carefully climbing aboard Uncle Jim's two-masted schooner Spindrift, anchored in San Francisco Harbor. There's a mysterious stranger on board, and they want to find out what he's up to. Uncle Jim and Betty have just left Uncle Jim's big amphibian plane and are on their way to prepare the Spindrift for the cruise to the Sulu Sea in search of the precious uranium metal which lies somewhere on a wrecked yacht. But there are other people interested in finding that uranium. Desperate members of an organized gang. And Uncle Jim has sent Jack and Billy ahead to find out what this strange visitor is doing on the boat. Listen.
Careful, Billy. Take hold of the shrouds this way and pull yourself up.
I'd rather use the side rail, Jack. There. See how quietly I got on deck?
That's the idea. There. Well, we're aboard, and I'll bet he didn't hear a thing.
What do we do now?
We've got to find out where he is on the boat. You go forward, and I'll go aft, just as quietly as we can. And the first one to hear him below signals the other.
Okay, Jack. But we've got to be careful he doesn't hear us first. Here goes.
Quiet, Billy.
Sure did it up front.
I know. Gosh, Father Neptune could have heard that way down in Davy Jones' locker. Somebody's coming up from below. Pretend we've just come aboard naturally.
Well, Billy, can't you keep your feet out of those coils?
Guess I can't, Jack.
Well, don't fall into one head first or you'll hang yourself. Hello there, below. Who's aboard?
He's coming up from the end cabin.
Hello.
Why doesn't he say so? Instead of giving us that oily smile with those big teeth.
I said hello.
Oh, sorry. I did not expect you.
You didn't expect us? That rather squares us up. We didn't expect you on the boat either.
I should say I did not expect you so soon. You are Jack Armstrong, are you not?
Jack, he knows you.
And your friend is Billy Fairfield.
Well, he knows me too.
You came from Hudson in that magnificent airplane that just passed overhead. I saw it land by the yacht club. I did not expect you would get to this ship so soon.
We did rather hurry, didn't we?
Ask him what business it is of his, Jack. I don't like his face anyway.
You saw me, perhaps, as you flew overhead and hurried to the boat.
It seems to me we've been answering all the questions. Who are you, anyway?
My name does not matter. I am only a humble personage.
Humble or not, you seem to know all about us.
You honor me. I know so very little.
You seem to know more about us than we do about you. What else do you know?
I know that Captain Fairfield and his niece Betty were also on that magnificent plane.
Well, suppose we start knowing a few things about you. For instance, what are you doing on our boat?
Watch him, Jack. He's looking at your hands. He's up to something.
That's right. Why are you looking at my hands so hard?
So sorry. Such nice hands. I was admiring them.
Well, if I didn't have my hands in my pockets, I'll bet.
Hey, why are you coming toward me?
Oh, very sorry. Your hands. Perhaps you will kindly oblige and let me see them.
Well, I'll say I won't. Why should I let you see my hands? Keep away.
See? It is so very simple to remove hands from pockets of a reluctant person.
He jiu-jitsu'd me, Jack. He jiu-jitsu'd me.
See here, Mr. Whoever you are. This has gone far enough. We find you on our boat, you won't answer our questions, and you're acting mighty queer. Now, I want to know what you're doing here.
So very sorry. It is not perhaps your boat after all. So sorry to say so, but it was only chartered to your Uncle Jim. Your humble servant is interested in buying and came aboard to inspect. So sorry to upset you.
Maybe you do want to buy the boat, or maybe you're interested in it for other reasons. But do you want to buy our hands, too?
That's telling them, Jack. Let's see them wriggle out of that.
They are nice hands, but no, I do not wish to buy. You must pardon me. A peculiar hobby of mine, admiring hands. And now, if you please, I shall take my unworthy self from your boat. I find I do not, after all, wish to buy it. You will excuse me if I leave?
I think you'll stay here for a while.
So, you have been pleased to relieve my boat of its oars. An excellent joke. Truly an excellent joke. I shall have many a chuckle over it later.
Maybe you will later, but not now.
No? So sorry, but I see an excellent pair of oars lashed to the deck here. I shall use those.
Oh, no, you don't.
I think I do. My unworthy self may boast, perhaps. But removing hands from pockets is least of my accomplishments.
Easy there, Billy. No force. Remember Uncle Jim's orders.
How wise of Uncle Jim. Truly a man whose intelligence is as the noonday sun. But is not that your Uncle Jim rowing out now?
Yes, it is.
Then I shall wait.
Jump on Jiminy, Jack. He wants to see Uncle Jim.
Throw me that line, Billy, and I'll stand by when Uncle Jim pulls alongside.
Hi, Uncle Jim. Stand by to catch a line.
Okay, Jack.
Fall fast, Uncle Jim. You got here just in time.
Well, well. See, we have a visitor aboard. Gangway for a heavyweight. It'll be good to set foot on deck again with a mast and spars reaching to the sky.
Gosh, you came just in time, Uncle Jim.
Introduce me to our visitor, Jack.
Sorry, Uncle Jim, but he wouldn't give me his name.
So sorry. Name of such a humble personage is seldom important.
Well, I don't know about that. Someday we might want to return your call.
You do me too much honor.
But, Jack, what can we do for
him? He says he was interested in buying the Spindrift and that the owner let him come aboard to inspect.
That's odd. The owner didn't tell me he planned to sell.
Do not be distressed. He does not plan to sell until you return.
Jack, watch him. See how he's looking at Uncle Jim's hands.
Just like he looked at ours. Gives me the creeps.
Have you seen enough of the boat, or would you care to inspect her again?
You are too kind. My departure for shore was delayed by the removal of the oars from my boat by Jack Armstrong and your esteemed nephew.
Why, what a thing to do. I shall insist on Jack rowing you back to make amends. Billy can row in for Jack later.
So sorry, but my humble self cannot permit such kindness.
As you like. Jack, you go in anyway. Go to the branch post office and pick up a package for me.
Package, Uncle Jim? What is it?
Just some kind of knick-knack or other that came from the Philippines. It was forwarded from Hudson. I found the registry slip in my mail waiting for me here. It's in this pocket, I think. Yes, here it is.
Yeah. Look out, Uncle Jim.
Here you. Give me back that slip.
Stop. Stand where you are.
Most unfortunate if this gun should go off. You will kindly stay on this boat, yes? See? I cut loose two skins, and I will take yours. So sorry to inconvenience you.
Uncle Jim, we're not going to stand here and see him get away with that. Why, that package might be terribly important.
There we are, Billy.
But if we all rush him at
once... Do as I tell you, Jack.
Truly, your Uncle Jim has the wisdom of the ages. So sorry, but my humble self must leave. So sorry you must remain. But water is deep and the tide is swift. The night will get you. Goodbye.
Uncle Jim, do we have to let him get away with this?
Yes, Billy, I'm afraid we do.
But what could he want with...
I'll come to that later, Jack. He's gone now. Look at him roll. Wonderful hidden muscle. Now, tell me what you found out about him.
Nothing. Less than nothing. You see, we got aboard quietly enough, but once on deck, we stumbled.
You mean, Jack, that I stumbled? Clumsy ox that I was. Well, anyway, he was below and heard us. He came on deck at once. Wouldn't give his name and said he was inspecting the boat with an eye to buying.
And that wasn't true, of course. We know that now.
I guess we both suspected it then, Uncle Jim.
Was that all?
No, Uncle Jim, there's something else. Sounds too ridiculous. He was terribly interested in Jack's hands, and then in mine.
I'll say. He pulled a jujitsu on Billy to get his hands out of his pockets.
But that isn't all, Uncle Jim. I noticed when you came aboard that the first thing he did was to look at your hands, just as though he was looking for something.
I think he was looking for something, Billy.
On the boat, Uncle Jim?
I don't know what he wanted on the boat. We'll find that out later. But I think I know what he was looking for on your hands and mine.
But there's only one thing he could be looking for on our hand, a ring.
A ring?
Jack's right, Billy. He was looking for a ring.
I don't understand.
Remember that token we were to get from Professor Loring? I didn't know what it'd be until you told me about our friend looking at your hands. It must have been a ring, a remarkable ring of some kind. And they knew that Professor Loring may have managed to send it to us.
Then that package at the post office, that must be the ring. And we let him get away with it.
Don't worry about that. Our oily friend is smart, but he hasn't had the last laugh yet.
You mean that registry slip was a fake?
Nothing else. Ever since I learned that I might get an important token from Professor Loring, I suspected this gang would be after it. I pulled an old receipt out of my pocket just to see how our friend would react.
And how he did react. I'd give a pretty penny to see his face when he gets ashore and reads that receipt.
He'll be, oh, so sorry, so very sorry.
But Jack, Billy, don't forget that we may get that package any day now. And if we do, remember that some of the best and most unscrupulous brains of the world will be after it.
That is something to remember. And now that we know how desperate they are...
We don't know the half of it yet, Jack. And now let's unship the Spindrift little boat and go after those two skips. There's work ahead of us, and maybe a lot more danger than we realize.
Well, what a surprise our foreign friend will have when he looks at that slip he stole. But come to think of it, what was he doing on the boat in the first place? There's a lot more going on just now than anyone knows. That uranium must be just as important as Uncle Jim says it is. And say, was our friend really looking for a ring? There's something behind that. But what? So listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow for another thrilling episode with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. You know, the fellows and girls who eat Wheaties for breakfast are getting lots of fun you should be having, too. Those Wheaties flakes pack a swell flavor, a zippy come-and-get-it flavor that you ought to go for in a great big way. That's why you want to be sure to get genuine Wheaties. Wheaties.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions.